Deborah, good morning.
Hi, how are you, Tess?
I'm brilliant, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Now, first up, why is it important for these degrees to have a prerequisite math standard?
Well, if we have a degree that requires students to have a certain level of knowledge when they come into the degree, and here we're talking about math prerequisites, but this really is across the board, then I think it's beholden on us as a university sector to ensure that the students that we're letting into our courses actually have the knowledge that we expect them to have. So, for example, put it in another context, if you were offering a course in advanced languages or advanced music, you would expect the students to be able to come in speaking that language or being able to play that instrument. So it sort of seems odd that we think that it's not necessary for students to really understand mathematics when they come into a course that requires them to have a fairly high level of understanding of mathematics.
Why was a prerequisite taken off the agenda of entering a course in the first place?
I think, yeah, this has been something that's been happening over the last two decades, and I can't speak to which university removed the prerequisite in the first place. There are lots of reasons why you might remove a prerequisite, and not everybody is in favour of restoring prerequisites. So, for example, if you're a university, you may have a certain number of places that you're offering to students, and you might not have enough students in your catchment area that have studied the prerequisites to fill those places. So that might be one reason. Another reason is people think that it's not equitable. So some students, for example, returning to study after some years may not have a prerequisite, so they don't want the doors to be closed on those students. And then when you're in a situation where prerequisites are being removed and you might have a competitor university, then it becomes a competition. The university down the road doesn't have prerequisites, you do. And so now you're starting to split the students across those two different spaces. So there's lots of reasons why this has happened, but overall what's meant is that this has been a spiral downwards, so that now the majority of universities on science degrees at least don't have prerequisites for entry to their courses.
Now, Deborah, you're a first year mathematics teacher. How will having prerequisite mathematic knowledge help people like yourself?
Well, what we've found in the group of teachers that I lead, and these are really people who specialise in teaching first year mathematics across universities, is that we have to remember that if you remove a prerequisite from university, that doesn't mean that the standard of maths that the students will be coming in with is year 11. It could be that students haven't done maths then since year 10, because nobody's checking their background to see what they've done. So what happens as a first year in maths person, and I have to say at the University of Melbourne we have prerequisites, so this doesn't impact directly on me, but it does on the group of people that I lead, is that when students come in, you have a group of students who have perhaps not done maths since year 10, they might have done year 11, they might have done some year 12, they might have got the highest score in an advanced maths course in year 12. So you've got a massive variation of ability and competencies across these students coming into your courses. And so somehow you have to try and manage those students. You have to be putting on new courses for the students to do. You have to be restructuring pathways within your degree. Bridging courses that are sometimes very short need to be put into place so you can get the kids up to speed so that then they can all be sort of on the same page before you can even start teaching them. So it's an incredibly complex situation that you have on first day of when the students enrol that you then have to manage through your degree structure.
So how are universities approaching this issue? How are they going to be able to determine the minimum knowledge students need before they start their degree?
Well, that's really an excellent question, Tess. And I think what a lot of people will be thinking is when you say we should reintroduce prerequisites or something like prerequisites, people automatically assume that means just nominating a particular subject from the Year 12 syllabus. Now, that's, of course, an easy way to do it, and lots of degrees might nominate different subjects. What I think we would be pushing for is to say, well, OK, as intellectual leaders, universities should be really assessing their own courses, what they're doing in their particular degree, and trying to have some kind of real understanding of the sorts of knowledges that the students need when they come in, and that should be a statement that they make about their prerequisites. Now, it could be that there's a subject at Year 12 level that matches that understanding. If there isn't, then universities really should be trying to set an agenda of making sure that what happens in Year 12 and the sorts of maths that we're teaching students, at least at that upper end for students who are going on to university, actually matches what they're required to do. So more than just stating a simple subject in New South Wales saying students need to do two-unit maths, we should be saying these are the sorts of things that students need to be able to do. Unit 2 maths matches closely with this background, maybe not exactly. So there should be some kind of interchange where we work with schools to actually have a curriculum that prepares students to come into university.
Now, Deborah, just before we let you go, you did mention bridging courses before, but what should students who haven't done an intermediate level of math in high school do before starting one of these degrees?
Well, that's a difficulty. So in particular places, they might have subjects that are bridging courses for them, but you need to be a bit careful. If you've got a subject at Year 12 that takes you a year to learn, you're not going to be able to make up that difference in a three-day bridging course. So you want to be making sure that you find a program. There's some around that are offered online. I know that some universities have their own bridging courses. So really, I would be really calling on teachers in schools as the advisors to their students to be really scoping out what the options are for their students and making recommendations to their students about what might be a good pathway for them to follow.
Well, Deborah, thanks so much for joining us on The Daily this morning.
That's okay. Nice to talk to you, Tess.